We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hour number 3, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. For those of you who are just joining us, perhaps, maybe you just got off work or just getting up.
Get out of work right now.
School vacation week. Younger people are probably, just...
Could be.
Hauling
waking
their
up,
butts out of bed.
Waking up. Having a bite to eat.
The Bruins unfortunately fell behind in their best of seven series to the Toronto Maple Leafs 2-1 after a 3-2 loss last night.
Oh, boy.
In which the Bruins' top line has just simply not given them enough. And Rich has made the suggestion, by the way, endorsed by my nighttime partner, Barry Peterson, to break up the Bruins' top line, get Pasternak out of there, because the trio, they've had an overwhelming number of offensive zone face-offs in this series so far. That's the one thing that Bruce Cassidy's trying to make sure he does. And yet, 5-on-5, they're not getting it done.
Well, then, the penalty kill let them down last night, too. They allowed 2 power play goals in the second period, so that obviously hurt. I thought maybe in that third period, you would have seen Pasternak play with Krejci and then slide whoever up to play with Bergeron and Marchand, because we thought if anything was going to hurt the Bruins, it was not going to be the top line based on what they did in the series last year against Toronto, where they were lights out. In this series, Pasternak has no goals. He's a -2. Bergeron's a -3. Marchand does have a goal and 2 assists, but he's also a -1. And they're only down 2-1. Obviously not the end of the world, but it looks like it's time for a change there. It's not Tuukka's fault, right? Like, no. I think if they're down 2-1, a lot of people would have looked at Tuukka, but it seems
they
to
do
be
anyway.
Thing. They do anyway, but I don't. Realistically, that's not the problem.
I give you this numbers breakdown courtesy of NBC Sports Boston. I saw them tweet this out. So over the last 2 years, the Bruins have played the Toronto Maple Leafs 10 games in the playoffs, 7 a year ago, 3 so far this year. In those 10 games, they are split evenly 5-5.
Right.
In the 5 wins, Marchand has 11 points and is +10. Bergeron, 9 points and +7. Pasternak, 14 points and +14. Those are in the 5 wins. In the 5 losses, Marchand, 1 assist, -9. Bergeron, 1 goal, -6. Pasternak, no points, -7. It is so dramatically different. When they're good, they're very, very good. They're
right.
Dominant. But when they're not, the Bruins just don't have much of a chance to win.
Yeah, and it seems like, all right, what can you do about it? And Pasternak has been getting beat up. Like, this series, he has not looked good, and they got to figure out a way to get him going. He's their best goal scorer. He needs to do something. And maybe it's playing with Krejci, and you say, well, what does it matter? He's getting beat up anyway.
Right.
But I just look at it, you say, well, they were able to put out the line and the defense pairing that they wanted against that line all night last night. Whereas now if you break those guys up, now it's another decision to make. Do you say, all right, we want to prioritize Marchand or Pasternak? Again, those are the two best goal scorers. So who are you going to try to take out? I think it's going to be a lot more difficult for Toronto to take both guys out if they're on different lines. So hopefully that's what we see tomorrow night.
And then the question becomes physical engagement. Because in the Bruins' win in this series, game 2, they were the aggressors. They took the physical game to the Toronto Maple Leafs. They did it from the drop of the puck, and they did it through the final horn, and they really did take Toronto off their game. In the 2 losses, the Bruins have ended up chasing the game. And I'm not saying Toronto was more physical, because they're not that physical to begin with. That is not their strength.
Although game 1, they looked like they were, and you're like, wait a minute, what is this?
They were trying to.
They tried to, right. And now you take, the cheap shot artist, Kadri, he's out for the entire series. Backus brings a little bit more of that, but then at the same time, I look at his performance from last night, and when he was on the ice, not like he was terrible, but he only got 9 minutes of ice time, and yet he commits a penalty, which Toronto capitalizes on.
Yep.
And if you're on the fourth line and you're barely playing, you just can't be committing penalties like that. Then the one on Grizzlick, I thought it was a bad call, but whatever, you got to deal with that. That kind of thing happens.
Now, my guys, Billy and Barry, said, yeah, unfortunately, that's a penalty.
So and then they couldn't kill it off for them. So it's frustrating. I mean, we knew Toronto was a solid team going in. I just thought the Bruins matched up really well against them. And not just because of last year's playoffs. Things are different. John Tavares wasn't on that team. But they won 3 out of 4 matchups this year in the regular season. They had home ice, and I thought they were going to win. I thought they were going to win the series in 5. And then the way they played in game 1 is that, all right, we could be in for a much longer series.
And if you're a Bruins fan, you're looking at this thing, and if you were to lose this series to the Toronto Maple Leafs, it would become doubly frustrating if, in fact, the Columbus Blue Jackets knock off the President's Trophy-winning team.
Yeah.
The best team in the NHL by far this year.
Yeah, what is going on over there?
And a Columbus Blue Jackets win tonight sends the Tampa Bay Lightning packing in 4 straight.
Isn't that insane?
That might be as big a playoff cough-up job as there's ever been.
Yes.
You are so far ahead of everybody in the regular season. You got the best power play, best penalty kill. You win the President's Trophy by a long shot.
You might have the Vezina. You have everybody.
And then if you lost in 4 straight in the playoffs, that might... Now, people have said, well, University of Virginia lost to a 16 seed last year.
Yeah.
That was one game.
That was one game.
One game, stuff can happen.
Right.
If you lose 4 straight...
4 straight to Columbus? Who... Everybody thought they were going to be sellers at the trade deadline. They went the other way. They acquired more players than I think any other team did. So they brought a bunch of guys in. But even then, you remember the way they got going with their new team? They were at one point out of playoff position, and they got themselves back in. You're saying, well, what are you doing? You gave up all these picks? Like, what's the point? You have to play Tampa in the first round. So now they're doing it. They're up 3-0, and they're at home tonight with a chance to seal it. Kucherov's back, obviously, for this game, but still, he was out for game 3. They won that.
Hedman's not going to play tonight, it doesn't look like. He's still out.
That's insane. Although, I mean, if Boston is able to get past Toronto, you'd say, well, Columbus is rolling. So
sure.
Maybe they, not that they would be a gimme, but
if
you wouldn't even have
to
play Tampa.
Play.
My God.
Right.
Like, that was the formula. Was that the Rossi roadmap? Have Columbus knock off Tampa?
Well, it technically wasn't, but it is now.
now it's on board.
The roadmap can always be adjusted.
Now it would be a choke job the other way if Columbus doesn't close this thing out being up 3-0. That's only happened a few times. Obviously, it happened to the Bruins, but it does not happen often.
It'll be so frustrating for Bruins fans if that happens.
Toronto-Columbus in the next round?
Yeah, Toronto-Columbus in round 2, although I'm not sure it would be Toronto-Columbus.
Do they reseed?
Yes.
Oh.
So it might be the Caps. But anyway, oh, by the way, speaking of Caps.
Oh, is that guy?
Alexander Ovechkin may have killed a man last night.
Yeah. Wanted in North Carolina?
For those of you who didn't see it, there's a 19-year-old defenseman for the Carolina Hurricanes named Andrei Svechnikov.
Yeah.
19 years old. One of his hockey heroes growing up was Alexander Ovechkin.
Was.
He challenged Ovechkin. Now, I will say this. Svechnikov challenged him.
Right.
There were, a little jostling, pushing, shoving, the stuff that happens in the playoffs.
Don't do it. Leave him alone.
Alexander Ovechkin, and I'm not even joking about this part, okay, because we just talked to a guy about the Junior Seau film and the problems with CTE.
Oh, it's a rule.
It's not the punch to the face that knocked Svechnikov out concerned me.
Oh, yeah.
It was the way his head hit the ice as he was going. Now, he was out when he went down, but the back of his head hit the ice so hard.
Oh, God.
If you see the video, I've gone back and forth about this fighting in hockey thing for a while now. I was always a huge advocate of it, loved calling fights, liked two men settling their differences.
Yes, that's how it's done. That's how it should be, even still.
And then you see one like that.
I know.
And you think, this 19-year-old kid, I'm not trying to overstate things, but he might never play the same way again.
No. I mean, there's a good chance that he doesn't. It is one of those things that with the number of fights, and they're down where they used to be, but you're almost surprised that that kind of thing doesn't happen more often, because if somebody does land sort of a quick knockout blow and you can't brace yourself going down, that is not forgiving. That's not getting knocked out on a football field or on a baseball field. You're hitting the ice, and the way your head goes down, that was brutal. I mean, I still am very pro fighting in hockey. That's one of the risks, though, because
when they were saying
before, because when they were trying to take it out and they were trying to use CTE as an example, looking at it, I said, I think it's more the dirty checks and the elbows that are causing CTE than some of these, you know, square offs when these guys are face to face and maybe land a couple of shots.
The Nazem Kadri cross check to the head of Jake DeBrusque or something like that.
Right, exactly.
And then you see what is, and don't misunderstand, perfectly legitimate fight. Svechnikov challenged, Ovechkin answered. Now,
face to face.
Ovechkin probably outweighs this kid by 40 pounds.
Yeah, and we just tweeted out on Dale Keefe WEEI, that was a knockout and a half. Ovechkin's a tough guy. I mean, obviously he's known for his 50-goal seasons and everything else, but he'll throw the body around, and not just fighting-wise.
He doesn't usually fight a lot.
Doesn't fight a lot, but
he's physical. And you don't want him to if you're the Caps. You don't want that guy sitting in the box for 5 minutes.
Exactly.
That was always the argument, and Milbury used to try to tone down Cam Neely's game. Because he's a 50-goal scorer. I don't want him sitting down for 5 minutes.
Right, no, yeah. So he doesn't a lot, but he's clearly capable. Now, the best news for, Svechnikov.
Svechnikov. I mess it up most of the time.
Is a lot of times when these guys fight, the helmets pop off early in the fight. Thankfully for him, the helmet stayed on.
Yeah, I'm not sure it helped a lot, but it had
but
to
more,
help
more
some,
than nothing.
Sure.
More than what it was. I think it braced it a little bit.
When you look at the video that we tweeted out on our show website, it's not the punch. Which does knock him out, by the way.
That knocks him out, but
And by the way,
it's also the back of the head hitting the ice.
Ovechkin wasn't trying to drive him into the ice. He fell when the kid went over backwards.
No, he didn't do like a Henderson, Michael Bisping, like punch him while he's down either. Like he hit him and he went down. Then he got off him, but he's like, uh-oh, like this guy's not getting up. That was brutal.
All right, let's get back to the calls with you guys. 617-779-7937. Brandon is in Cranston. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
How are you?
Hey, listen, I just wanted to say, that's a clean fight right there.
I said it was a clean fight.
You're right, but he's trying to make a name, and Ovechkin's coming out, and he was his fourth fight in his career. I mean, he kind of babied him down, too, if you notice. He kind of grabbed his collar and didn't let him hit so hard, you know what I mean?
Oh, listen.
Yeah, he did.
It was a perfectly clean fight. It was just a real bad idea.
KO victory for Ovechkin.
Yeah, you know what? Now you say that, I kind of agree with you more. But yeah, I mean, you know, there's nothing you can't really call anyone. He wanted to make a name. He wanted to stick up for himself. Boom, you get knocked out.
Well, he tried. Did not go well.
I mean,
for him.
He was out before he hit the ice. But then when his head hit the
apparently
the back
he's
of his
okay.
Head,
they're saying he's okay. I mean, they also said DeBrusque was okay.
They said he's in concussion protocol. I mean, what we've learned more than anything else over the last number of years is that concussion protocol doesn't mean anything in terms of he's out a week that means he's out a day. Right. Who knows?
You don't know.
His coach, Rod Brind'Amour, has said he's not going to be playing in game four. And beyond that, who knows?
No, exactly.
But it was bad.
It was devastating.
Jeff's in Rhode Island. Hey, Jeff.
Hey guys, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to get your guys' insight on a few observations I made. See if you guys are thinking the same thing. I'm pretty hopeful in what the Bruins can still do. Cassidy seems like a real smart guy. Going forward, these lines of the Maple Leafs, I don't know if you noticed, it doesn't look like Tavares' line is actually going forward to score. It looks like they're playing almost a game of stopping that first line with where they're trying to neutralize the counterattack of the Bruins, and what I mean by that is it looks like they're almost getting back to their own blue line, playing a safety game to neutralize the offensive power of that first line, which has actually hurt their depth in scoring. Now they have Nylander on the third line, who isn't really a scoring threat. I just see us as having more depth and really a lot more depth.
Well, and to your point, Charlie Coyle has probably been the Bruins' best forward in this series so far. You know, since the trade deadline acquisition, you were kind of waiting for Coyle to show what you thought he was going to be, and he's been really good. The difference in the game last night was two power play goals for Toronto.
Right.
I mean, the Bruins had a power play goal from Coyle, but you lost 3-2 because you lost the power play battle 2-1.
I don't know if they are a lot more deeper. I mean, maybe you take Kadri out, who is probably their fifth or sixth best forward, something like that.
He was maybe their best forward in the game they lost in game two until
but overall, like you have your top tier guys like Tavares and Marner and Matthews, and then after that, I think it's kind of a wash with some of the guys from the Bruins. In fact, during the regular season, they probably had more guys in that 30-40 point range than the Bruins did. So the Bruins, I think, it pretty simply need to get the top line going and also the power play. And you pointed out, Dale, that maybe because they've given up so many shorthanded goals, they're starting to handle the attack a little bit differently.
I honestly think because the first line is usually the out there on the power play, obviously, to start. And it was awful.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of it has to do with they've been so concerned because of the shorthanded goals, and they keep getting burned by them. And I just think that they...
And that's not going to lead to success. if they're just worried about giving up a goal on the power play, then forget it. Because 5-on-5 was fine last night. Power play was frustrating with the first group, and then the penalty kill, which I know you can't rely on every single time, but it was frustrating to watch in the second period.
I was just looking this up just because I was thinking, I said that Alexander Ovechkin doesn't fight very much.
Yeah, how many fights?
4 in his career.
Yeah, okay, that's what the caller said. Four in his career.
Before last night, his previous fight was December 12th, 2010.
Jeez, and he looks like an absolute...
Well, he's a tank.
Well, that's what I'm saying is I don't remember a lot of fights from Ovechkin, but I remember times where guys try to get physical with him and he'll just knock them on their ass. Like, I've seen that, like whether it's into the boards, open ice, whatever. Fights, he saves it. But I don't think many guys are going to challenge him again. He may not take the fight, but you probably don't want him to after seeing that.
No, probably not. 617-779-7937. Rich is in North Providence. Hey, Rich.
Hey, how's it going? Just wanted to give you a quick heads up. I know you work for the Bruins and everything, but that's Svechnikov. He's a top five pick, and he's actually a high-end forward, just to give you the heads up. I know you'd mentioned he was defenseman.
Well, it was a slip of the tongue. He's a 19-year-old kid. Very skilled. He sure as hell not a fighter. And he sure as hell shouldn't be challenging Ovechkin to a fight.
And even though he challenged him, now listen, I'm not saying this was going to make a big difference or anything like that, but, you know, Ovechkin throws the gloves off, you know, it's like, listen, if you want to fight a guy and you want to fight, okay, let's drop the things and let's make sure the other guy drops his and let's square off like men, you know. I'm not saying it would have been any different. He probably would have pummeled the guy anyways. But if you do look at it, you know, whips the gloves down, the other guy's didn't have his gloves off really yet, grabs him.
Yeah, but he'd given Ovechkin a couple of sticks, and it was obvious
he was ready.
And Ovechkin butt-ended him in the stomach. But I'm just saying, if you're going to fight and you want to fight, drop the gloves, make sure the other guy's gloves are dropped too, then engage with it, because I think that had a little bit to do with it. Like I said, not a whole lot, but it had a little bit to do with it.
Yeah, look, I think the kid had an idea what he was doing. He just didn't realize that was going to be the end result. He might not have taken that.
He was ready, but he was not ready.
Paul's in Braintree. Hey, Paul.
Hey, gentlemen, how are you?
Good. Great. What's up?
Good. I heard that interview you had earlier, and I wanted to tell you, on YouTube, there's an interview with Christiane Amanpour, where she's with Brett Favre and the doctor that found CTE, and it's about CTE. And Brett Favre mentioned he was diagnosed with 4 concussions in his life, and then he said, I learned every time I got my bell rung or my vision got blurred that was a concussion, and he had close to 30. And she asked him, how do you make the game safer? He said, don't play. It's about 10 minutes long. You should really look at it. It's basically him and her sitting down before the Super Bowl, where she's asking him about the danger to pro football and how frightened he is because he's starting to forget things. You know what I mean? It's a real good interview to see.
There was some announcements here in Boston a week or so ago about the possibility that they may be able, they think they're inching closer to being able to diagnose CTE in living people. Now the only way they can diagnose it is post-mortem. But I'm not convinced that if these guys got diagnosed that they'd say, okay,
no,
I'm
out.
That's
so.
It.
I think most of them definitely would not. I also thought what was interesting, and we'll see in the 30 for 30 tonight on Seau, is what he sort of projected, which was this lovable guy that every teammate loved.
Everybody loved him.
He was friendly, and he really was. Like, when I heard that he had killed himself, I was shocked by it. But he says there's a dark side there even before the CTE, and that just sort of maybe got, you know, taken to another level.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Kiefer Madness is coming up next. We buried the lead. It's Tuesday. That means Kiefer Madness.
That's right. Big Madness today.
And we'll talk about the Celtics and their playoff push as well. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Get connected with Rich Keefe on Twitter at Keefe21. Now back to more of Dale and Keefe on Sports Radio WEEI.
Kiefer Madness?
Kiefer Madness?
Yes, I'm ready for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
What now?
Rack that one up for Kiefer Madness, will you?
Is he going to talk about ducks wearing clothes and stuff?
What did you say?
Going to be like Kiefer Madness. He's going to be in a great buildup and then nothing.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Okay.
So screw you, Keefe.
Yeah. Right. Screw you.
Nice.
We don't need you. Stupid jerk.
We don't need you.
Kiefer Madness. Rich Keefe is just that guy makes you laugh.
Kiefer Madness.
I don't think this is one of the stronger segments.
The maid of honor hit the bottle hard and almost hit the best man with his own car.
Are there guys who kick with both legs?
Send me naked pictures of you.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Could be a crackhead.
Here we go, Dale. It's a Tuesday.
That whole hitting the best man with the car, is that similar to driving the golf cart at the wedding?
Hitting a groomsman with a golf cart at full speed.
The same sort of thing.
It's very, very similar.
Okay.
Yeah, that happened. Dale, this is a story out in Michigan, but I
involving poop?
It does not.
Wow.
Sorry.
There's
but please still pay attention. I know you're hoping for a poop story.
No, I'm just expecting.
No, this one does not, although I do feel like it is very relatable for a lot of people.
Okay.
A Grand Haven man is suing his parents for throwing out his pornography collection.
Mom! Does that hit home with a lot of people?
Do?
You always hear the stories about, oh, I had a Mickey Mantle rookie card, then my mom threw it out. In this case, a very expensive adult film collection is now lost because the parents said, you know what, enough is enough.
At some point here soon,
yes,
you're going to give me the age of this guy because this is going to be crucial for me.
Yes. 12. No, I have the age coming up.
Grand Haven man is suing his parents for throwing out his pornography collection. He says it was no ordinary collection and was worth tens of thousands of dollars.
That's a good porno collection.
That is a lot of nights alone in your room, isn't
that
it?
That is a ton. Nights, days, whatever it might be.
What is that, like a rookie collection? Like, how is porn worth money?
It's if you've got 100,000 videotapes.
You're gonna hear.
Okay.
There's some explanation as to why it is not your run of the mill porn collection.
His parents say they threw it out for a good reason.
To torture their son. That is clearly the only reason I can think of. I'm not entirely sure.
Of a few.
Yeah, that's probably true.
You know,
get out of the house! Get out of the house! Get some fresh air!
Thanksgiving, everybody around the table, and Junior's over in the living room.
Where's Junior? Oh, I'll be right there! Hold on a second. Finishing up some business.
His parents say they threw it out for a good reason. Since it's a civil case with no criminal charges, the names and identities of the parties are being kept anonymous.
That's lock and key.
Come
but don't worry, we have a workaround.
Oh, good.
Michael Martin calls the plaintiff Charlie for the sake of storytelling and explains the unusual circumstances.
His name's Charles, but we're going to call him Charlie. No.
You'll never be able to figure this out.
We'll throw you off the scent here. Charlie. So now we're going to go to the man on the scene here.
Charlie moved back into Mom and Dad's Grand Haven home in October of 2016 following a divorce.
Oh, no.
Oh, I wonder why.
I
wonder why.
I just said the age of this is going to make a difference to me.
So you're telling
me. He's divorced, moving back in with Mom and Dad, and he's got a U-Haul van full of porno videos.
Now, I don't judge people, Dale. People can do whatever they want. But if you were to tell me that a man who has tens of thousands of dollars worth of porno got a divorce?
No way.
I would say, hold the phone here, sir.
Charlie moved back into Mom and Dad's Grand Haven home in October of 2016 following a divorce, doing household chores in lieu of paying rent, federal court documents explain.
He empties the dishwasher. Do you think he can live there? Like, what is wrong with this guy? But yeah, he does chores. What kind of chores do you think he did?
I bet he was doing his own laundry.
Yeah, maybe
his own and nobody else's.
And hopefully cleaned his bathroom and shower.
But he moved out just 10 months later. December 2017, Charlie's parents allegedly deliver boxes of his stuff to his new place in Indiana. But when they arrive, Charlie notices many of his possessions are missing.
I think specifically a certain amount of collection is or possessions are missing.
His parents allegedly telling him they destroyed the stuff he's looking for. That stuff being 12 moving boxes full of pornography.
12 boxes?
12
were these boxes? The big tall wardrobe boxes?
I would think so. I'm guessing a lot of VHS, too. Like, you got to go to some of the classics. This isn't all on DVD.
Can I just say
12
that
boxes?
I'm going to guess
12 boxes of anything.
There's not a lot of variety in all of these. I mean, there's sort of a general conception of what's going on.
Oh, Dale, you couldn't be more wrong. You could not be more wrong. Not a lot of variety?
Well, I mean,
Variety is the spice of life.
The overall is probably pretty much the same.
Trust me, Dale, there's a lot of variety out
Dale,
there.
I'll come in there, show you a couple websites.
No, I'm good.
Some tabs
that's
you
what
can
I, that's what I want is Jason Rossi tipping me off.
There's like whatever.
How did I ever have three kids of my own, Rossi?
Trust me, you get into the tentacle porn or whatever. There is a whole
wide
range. It involves octopus. It's a whole thing, Dale.
Unable to work it out with his parents, he calls the Ottawa County Sheriff's Department, declaring his collection worth about
$29,000. $29,000 worth of adult films.
I'm going to guess that he probably inflated the worth of the collection.
Well, maybe. Maybe.
The prosecutor's office eventually declining to press charges in the matter.
Yeah.
Just a month later, Charlie begins reaching out to his dad through email, according to the lawsuit, saying, "If you had a problem with my belongings, you should have stated that at the time, and I would have gone elsewhere. Instead, you chose to keep quiet and behave vindictively."
I want somebody to beat the crap out of this guy.
This guy's not great.
I want this guy beaten.
We're going to get Ovechkin to find this guy.
Yes.
His father apparently responding, "Believe it or not, one reason for why I destroyed your porn was for your own mental and emotional health."
Okay, don't.
Thanks, Dad.
It was something about a glass house, Dad.
Dad going all Dr. Ruth on
yeah,
me.
Please,
here.
Please.
"I would have done the same if I had found a kilo of crack cocaine."
I feel like, again, I could be wrong. There is a difference. So you stumble upon
porno videos,
a kilo of crack cocaine. Same reaction. Get rid of this. Cleaning up your life. I feel like one could be worse.
Do you think the father knew how much this was worth?
No.
Because he would have sold that.
Sold
I don't think he cares.
No, I know. Would he have sold the kilo of crack?
You know he would have.
Yeah. He knows a guy. Everybody knows a guy.
He's in Michigan.
Yeah, he's in...
"I would have done the same if I had found a kilo of crack cocaine. Someday I hope you'll understand."
Oof.
The emails continue, some bringing up Charlie's alleged past, recalling him being kicked out of high school and even college for selling porn to other students.
So this is a career path.
Oh, he is. Yeah, this is a career. He was all the way back in high school and college, got busted for selling porn. Obviously, he keeps the good stuff. He's got a collection worth almost 30
giving
grand.
Away any of that.
But no, he made a small fortune selling it back in the day.
Dad allegedly saying, "I also warned you at the time, if I ever found pornography in my house again, I would destroy it."
Dad going all Clint Eastwood on this kid now.
What do you do? You just burn it? Like, to send a message? Do you take the old VHS and you rip the film out?
No, you drop the boxes off at Goodwill.
Yeah, here you go, guys. Here's our donation for the month.
He was kicked out of high school.
Yeah.
For selling porn. Now, you guys for selling were in, like, third world country states.
Yeah.
Did you ever see any of that in your high schools?
Did we see that?
Did anybody
stuff in high
sell
school?
Porn at your high school?
I don't think everybody sold it. People had it, but I don't think anybody sold it.
This guy's selling
porn?
He
sold it. Well, again, he's got some exclusive stuff, is what I'm guessing. I don't know.
Charlie, feeling the situation unresolved, reaches back out to investigators, allegedly sending one officer 44 emails worth of movies he says were destroyed.
He has a list of all the ones. These are the best ones. I've lost a lot of stuff.
I don't think
but
he was sending a list. I think he was
ones.
Sending clips.
Oh, yeah. He's like, "See this stuff? I had the whole feature-length film of this."
Listing many as valuable out-of-print films, writing, "Not just out of print, but the entire studio making it dissolved. And that was 20 years ago."
There you go, Dale. These are classic films that cannot be remade.
A texter brings up a good point. You got $29,000 worth of porno, and you can't afford to rent an apartment?
That's correct. But he was doing chores around the house.
He was doing chores.
Some really good chores.
This is like the Disney vault.
These are never coming back. You're not getting it back. They don't make them anymore.
The prosecutor, again, declining to file charges.
Oh.
Yeah.
Fast forward to April 2019. Charlie files suit against his parents, seeking $86,000 in damages.
Good God.
I don't know how he jumped it up to 86 grand, but that's where he went.
Yeah, I thought it was 29, Charlie.
I thought so, too. But he went all the way up to 86. But it's a sad tale out there in Michigan.
So basically, it's like... 50,000 in mental, issues.
Yeah, pretty much.
You took my porn away.
Right.
I need 50 grand.
Yeah, but some of that stuff, they don't make it anymore. I mean, that's tough.
Emotional distress, too.
You gotta adjust with mental images, I guess.
I had 7 Stormy Daniels videos in this box, Dad.
He did.
Come on.
He probably did.
I would have done the same if I had found a kilo of crack cocaine.
There you go, Dale.
Want a piece of Red Sox news? This is actually somewhat semi-breaking.
Ooh.
Red Sox news.
Let me hit the sounder here.
This is Breaking News with Dale and Keith. Brought to you.
This courtesy of Evan Drellick, who breaks more news now that he's unemployed than he ever did when he was employed.
That does seem right.
So Evan Drellick says, sources, the Red Sox have DFA'd catcher Blake Swihart.
Guess who's coming up?
He's effectively gone, presuming he won't pass waivers. Stunning move early in the season for a struggling team.
Who's on the mound tonight?
Oh, I wonder who's coming up. I didn't mention this ever, did I?
Who might be catching for him tonight, would you guess?
Oh, who thought that was so stupid at the time? Sandy's back, baby!
You would assume that would be the next move,
Sandy
right?
Sandy Leone, baby.
Is he getting a police escort?
I hope so. He should. He's better than
in New York.
Mirabelli,
not going to happen in New York, but here, not. I mean, if Doug Mirabelli does, Sandy Leone does.
What's the record right now? 6-11? They're going to turn things around with the return of Sandy Leone.
There you go.
He's not going to hit a lick, Dale, but he's going to call a hell of a game back there.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Charlie moved back into Mom and Dad's Grand Haven home in October of 2016 following a divorce, being kicked out of high school and even college for selling porn to other students. That stuff being 12 moving boxes full of pornography. I would have done the same if I had found a kilo of crack cocaine.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's Middays with Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
I just think that just on the offensive end, there was going to be some things that were going to happen. But defensively, I knew that our length, our versatility were going to be a positive for us, you know, especially in this series. We know them very well. We played them 4 times throughout the year. We know each other pretty well. So defensively, I knew we were going to be in the right spots. And it just was just matching that effort and being smart about it, knowing who we wanted to gap off of and really just focusing on the game plan, just doing the right things.
That's talking about the Celtics playoff game, which is tomorrow night. And we'll get into that as we go forward. But we've got to at least talk about the move that the Red Sox have just made here. Apparently within the last few minutes. First broken by Evan Drellick, now confirmed by others since then. That Blake Swihart has been DFA'd. Effectively, his Red Sox career is over. The Red Sox haven't confirmed that, nor have they even announced who will replace him. But it seems pretty clear, doesn't it, that Sandy Leone...
Yeah, I mean, who else would it be?
...will be on his way from Pawtucket.
I mean, Vasquez is a second baseman anyway, so you don't have a catcher, so you gotta bring one up. It's clearly Sandy Leone, and I never got this from the beginning. And not that Sandy Leone's a good hitter. In fact, he's quite the opposite. But Vasquez isn't a great hitter. Swihart, everybody says, is a great hitter. I'm not convinced that he is. And it was just so overwhelming how much the pitching staff loved Sandy Leone. And it wasn't like he was one guy's personal catcher. He was essentially 4 of their personal catcher. Like, he's your catcher. That's what it is. And you need to get offense from the other 8 guys because you're probably not going to get it from Sandy. That's fine. But I thought Sandy Leone he had the best catcher ERA from a year ago. His splits with Chris Sale aren't drastic compared to Vasquez, but he caught 18 of the 27 games or whatever it was last year from Sale. The numbers with guys like Porcello and Price are more drastic. They just feel more comfortable with Sale or with Leone. And if he's getting off to a start like this, I think it was only a matter of time until he showed up.
So what happens if Chris Sale goes out and spins a gem tonight at Yankee Stadium?
Well, what do you mean?
Which he might have anyway, by the way.
Yeah.
Do you then say, what the hell were you doing at the beginning of the year?
To the Red Sox? Yeah, I'm saying that already now.
Right. No, but I'm saying if we see it happen tonight.
Yeah.
Where,
that looks like a miss. And I don't know if that was Dombrowski's decision, Cora's decision, the both of them together. I don't know if they like, do they agree, or did one get the final word on that? Now, I guess your argument could be, hey, we thought the upside of Vasquez and the upside of Swihart was worth taking a shot at. We also thought we're going to win 100 games this year, so if you get off to a slow start, it's not the end of the world, and we wanted to work those guys in and hope that they were able to take it, but they haven't.
Is this a panic move? I mean, given the way they started, given an 8-1 loss at Fenway yesterday in the Patriots Day game to the Orioles, a terrible Orioles team, is this simply the Red Sox saying, oh my God, we got to do something, we got it in, let's go?
A little bit. I mean, Blake Swihart's gotten a chance. Blake Swihart has played in 12 games this season. He's had 26 at-bats, which isn't a ton of at-bats. It's less than Vasquez, but it's also not like he's only played in a handful of games. And so maybe, was this the sample that they're willing to give him? I don't know. Like, say he was hitting the same and playing the same, and the team was 11-6 instead of 6-5, or instead of 6-11, and the pitching staff was doing better than they were doing. Maybe you say, all right, I think the plan was to keep him, because think about it, at the beginning of the year, another team could have claimed Sandy Leon. You might not have had the option to just call him back up.
Why did they want to keep Swihart?
I don't know. They think he's good. I've never seen it, but they must think he's good.
Well, and my initial thought was the versatility is why they wanted to keep him. And then they catch Swihart yesterday and put Vasquez at second base. The versatility where Swihart's kind of played all over the place, here, there, and yet yesterday was the time when you needed him, and you catch him and play Vasquez at second for the first time in his professional career.
Yeah, I don't really get that. Although Swihart, I feel like, is still a catcher, and it's them that has kind of jerked him around. Like, I give him an excuse there. As all of a sudden they're sticking him in the outfield, you're like, well, wait a minute. Is his value that good? Because every time they say he's a good hitter, I hear it as he's a good hitter for a catcher. There's not a lot of great hitting catchers anymore. Like the days of Piazza and Pudge, there doesn't seem to be a lot of those guys. And so could he separate himself as a catcher at the plate? That's what we were told when he was one of the top prospects in baseball. That's what we were sort of sold is, hey, he's like Buster Posey. Well, he's not. And now he's gone. But and maybe somebody will take a stab at him.
Now, it just is, I'm sure, pure coincidence that this all happens on the night Chris Sale is going to pitch at Yankee Stadium. I'm sure it's total coincidence that it happened today. Or is it possible Chris Sale said, I really would rather throw to Sandy Leon here?
Yeah, I wonder if they even asked him about it. Or do they just see it and they say, well, all these guys liked him. But I don't even know if it's a coincidence, Dale, because if they did this with Porcello, you could say the same thing. If they did it with Price, who actually pitched really well the other day. But if you did it with any of those guys, you would say, well, they're all better with Sandy Leon. But yeah, I don't think they've ever known, and this is even before Cora, like I don't think they've ever known what to do with Blake Swihart. Like they kind of screwed that up. Remember last year, he actually, demand might be a hard, might be too strong a word.
Right.
But he wanted out. He wanted to be traded last year. His agent said, Blake Swihart wants to be traded.
He wanted to go play.
He was on the roster like almost all season, and you're like, they didn't really use him. I still remember specifically asking Alex Cora, When we were interviewing him, what's Blake Swihart's best position? And he said, catcher. And we were like, well, are you going to maybe let him catch? And he's like, well, right now, no, because we like the two guys that we have. So a lot of teams will have the third, like, emergency catcher on their playoff roster, but they don't have it in the regular season, and that's kind of how they used him a year ago. This year it started out differently, but the team has gotten off to such a bad start.
John Heyman, MLB Network, tweeted out sources. Sandy Leon is being called up by the Red Sox. Not that there was much of a...
Yeah, it would have been real shocking. If it was
somebody else. Yeah. We brought up another relief pitcher.
You're like, who the heck? But yeah, so Sandy Leon, and we'll see. Again, don't expect anything, you know, at the plate, but behind the plate, he's been... he was great last year, but it was a big part of it. So I'm not surprised he's up. I was wondering, I don't know what the breaking point was. I guess it was either this record. Maybe you're onto something. Maybe Chris Sale did mention something, but Sale also to me does not strike me as the
like
kind of
matters.
Guy.
Yeah.
It shouldn't matter.
Put the finger down. I'll throw
it. If it was a trash can back there, I think he would just throw to it. Like he's not going to use that as an excuse. So my guess is it was more Cora and Dombrowski saying, you know what? Our pitching staff, it's now been through the rotation three times. Besides Price, it doesn't look great. You know, Rodriguez did have a good start, but for the most part, it has not been pretty. So let's try to help these guys out.
Where you'll have a bigger story, I guess, is if Sandy Leon is called up today, as we expect, and Christian Vasquez is catching Chris Sale tonight.
Yeah, that'd be a little surprise.
Then you'd be going, wait a minute. This had to be done today. Why?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, Leon will come up today.
Right.
And just as obviously to us, I think, he's going to catch tonight.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I would see. So it'll be interesting to sort of keep tabs on it now. Like, what are the pitchers, and everybody will do this, but what are the pitchers' ERAs since the return of Sandy Leon?
Let's see what they put up. And as I said, maybe Sale would go out there. Maybe he would have gone out there and thrown a gem tonight anyway. I mean, if you were catching him.
I was a good catcher.
Were you?
Yeah.
Were you a catcher?
At times. Played a bunch of spots.
All over the
place. Yeah, it was good.
On the days when I wasn't, you know, twirling a gem on the bump.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
You name it. Whatever you need.
We would expect that Sale probably doesn't mind throwing to Sandy Leon tonight, which is more than likely what's going to happen. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.